the book of Isaiah chapter 55. From verse 6 it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, that's the state. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Alright, next scripture, open to the book of Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. Now, I want to just read something we all know. This was when Jesus came for baptism. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I'm the one that needs to be baptized. How come you are the one now coming to me? Jesus now said, let's do it because it's fitting for us to so fulfill all righteousness. Then verse 16 of Matthew chapter 3, and the Bible says that after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. New Living Translation says something like, in whom I am absolutely or completely pleased, something like that. Now, there's a reason why I read this, and you'll find that out in a moment. Let me just quickly review where we are. I reviewed things we said the last 2 weeks, and then continue from there today. Today, I want to put a summary or an end to what we have been saying about how to recognize the voice of God. Can you remember that? But now, this is our Faith Basics series, and one of the things we talked about under these basics, I began to do that about 2 weeks ago, is how to recognize the voice of God. And we explained, or we asked a question from the life of the widow of Zarephath, in which a man showed up suddenly in her presence, giving her instructions, and she obeyed, and she was blessed. And we said the question is, why did she obey him? And I explained along the line that there's what the Bible calls the spirit of faith, and that if God pours into you the spirit of faith, you also will believe. And we said that God has a power. He has the power to make somebody believe and has the power to make somebody not believe. Now, there's something that occurs a lot in the body of Christ. People argue and quarrel over certain absolute statements. Do you understand my point? And the reason, like Derek Prince said, is because the truth is in the middle. Some people will stay at the extreme right, some will stay at the extreme left. Alright? The truth, the recording said, is often in the middle. Do you understand my point? And why people keep arguing is because they just put themselves at the extremes. Why am I saying so? I don't know, I think it's Calvinism, I can't remember which of them, that explains that you cannot be saved except God sees you. He said, at least those who will be saved have been predetermined. And without your being amongst those who are elect and who are so predetermined, you can never be saved. And some say that doesn't make sense. That people like Charles Finney say, if that's the case, then why are you judging a man who refuses to give his life to Christ that he's a sinner? Do you understand my point? Of course, so that the argument still remains today in the schools of theology. Now, like I was quoting the reference, the truth is that it's in the middle where the truth is. And what I'm bringing out, I just realized as I begin to read the scriptures today, that we are bringing out the issue that's in the middle. Now, I've made a statement again and again that God can make somebody believe and make somebody impossible good to believe. You know what I'm saying? And the reason we have explained, I don't want to go by it again. But the issue is that it doesn't just disseminate arbitrarily. There must be a reason. What I'm saying is that God is pleased with you. He will shine his favor towards you in such a manner that he will pour the spirit of faith upon you and it will become easy for you to believe. Are you getting that point? And we said that that's the reason why the widow of Zarephath was able to believe Elijah. That's one reason. And I said that, but for her, what matters is that a man said he's hungry. And that's where we are. Said that, how did she know the man was speaking the truth of God? How did she know that the man was not trying to obtain her of her money, of her food? And I said, that's of secondary importance in her life. She was a kind person. She was somebody who honored, I believe, as an explanation, another example, the office of the prophet. He was somebody who helped the needy. Alright? And so when a man came and said that, God said, you should give me your food, it became secondary an issue to see, did God really say, or God did not say? The fact is that the man needs the food. Do you understand the point? What we try to explain with that is the fact that Christians shouldn't worry themselves, and that's where we are, and that's where I continue from today, so much about how to hear the voice of God. And I made some categorical statements last time. I said, don't worry about how to hear God's voice. Don't worry about it. You know, people say that what you do is that you kneel down and pray and pray and pray until your spirit becomes quiet. We learned all those things in school. The truth is that they don't work like you said, alright? Somebody might give you a testimony here and there how it works in his life. The fact is that they are not general laws, alright? Somebody say you pray and pray and pray and pray until you begin to sing in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit and sing in the spirit and nothing will happen to you. Do you get my point? And if you look, listen, the first man who did like that and sang in the spirit, maybe for him it truly was a spiritual manifestation. Everybody else afterwards, the people are just copying. There may not be real life to it, and you cannot make a method out of those things. That's very careful. But there are things that we can do which are right, which God says that's the way things are supposed to be. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You understand that? And all of that things, including recognizing the voice of God, will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do I mean? When Elijah shows up at your doorstep, saying, thus says the Lord, and you don't know whether the Lord said or did not say, just check what the Lord claimed, what his name the Lord said. If it's something you can do, and it's good and righteous, are you getting my point? Then you do it. If it's something you can't do, or if it's not good and righteous, no matter who says it, forget it, don't bother doing it. That's what we're talking about. So how do we recognize the voice of God? It's simple. We prepare our hearts in God's righteousness. And we don't worry our heads about how we like it is God that is speaking. Are you getting my point? People have said so many times that you have to practice these things. I'm saying again, no, I don't believe so. He said, what if God wants to speak to you, you won't hear. Listen, there are many things that determine, and the most important one, so I'm discussing now, that determine whether you'll be able to recognize it. When God spoke to Samuel, let me ask you a question. Was he a big boy or a small boy? A small boy, that's the answer. You understand my point? And was he accustomed to the voice of God? The answer is what? No, he was not. But God spoke in such a manner. We are really chipped down on him, alright? About special manifestations. Because we are laying the foundations for our faith again. God spoke in such a manner that he had to hear, and he heard with his physical ears. At least, that was how it seemed to him. Do you get my point? That was how it seemed to him. That's a temple that if something just comes to your mind as an impression, don't tell me God said to me. It's not good a statement to make. Do you get my point? Now, for Samuel, he was lying down there. God spoke so loudly. He thought with his physical ears that he woke up out of his sleep. Do you get my point? And rushed to go and answer Eli. This happened a number of times until Eli realized that it must be God that's talking to this boy. And he said, next time you hear the voice, answer like this. On the spot, he was told how to answer, and God began to speak to him. Moses did not train himself in how to recognize the voice of God. He was just passing, and God used the bush that was burning but was not burning to catch his attention. And then he turned around, and then God spoke in such a manner that Moses heard with his physical ears, he thought. Do you get my point? Maybe somebody else standing beside Moses may not have heard, but Moses thought he was hearing with his ears physically. We Christians these days, Pentecostals especially, we have decided that every thought that comes to our hearts is God said. Are you getting my point? Yes, and we have confused ourselves and many people with those statements. And that's why somebody like me has to teach what I'm teaching now to help regularize the mind. That's an interesting expression there. To help regularize the mind of Christians again. So that they don't get confused. Please, get what I'm saying. So that they don't get confused. The reason is that a lot of people now wonder, was it my mind or was it not my mind? Did God say I should marry this person, or was it God that did not say so? Or now this brother has said that God said I should marry him. In fact, there are situations in which it's the woman that said to the man that you are just wasting your time. God said you should marry me. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? All those things have caused a lot of confusion in the mind of Christians. I want to establish our hearts again in faith. Alright? And what I'm saying is, what are we supposed to do under such circumstances? Don't worry your head. Just do what is right. That's what I'm explaining. Just do that which is what? Right. So if a man shows up, and you're a young woman, especially if he has the gymness of a big brother around him, you understand what I mean by gym brother, all right? And he comes and says, thus says the Lord, you will be my wife. Don't be intimidated. If you don't like him, say no. There's no fight in it. If he likes, let him come down. He's been on the mountain for 12 days, and he has neither drunk anything or eaten anything. Tell him that wife is beginning to see, he's beginning to hallucinate. Hunger is a terrible thing. If you are too hungry, you will see visions by force. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember one brother was telling me, when he used to fast a lot, at that time, he used to see clearly, and he used to sit in the realm of the spirit. I said, bro, you have to tell whether he's in the realm of the spirit, or he's hypoglycemia that's disturbing your soul. No, I'm telling you. So if a man comes to you, and I said, if you don't like him, listen, don't be intimidated at all. Quote for him that Pastor Banky said, I should tell you no. So what is the reason? Because I don't like you. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like your spirituality. It doesn't gel with my soul. There's no quarrel in it. He said, well, God said, that's what we're talking about. Don't be intimidated. Tell you, God said to you, he did not say to me. And if I obey what God said to you, I will be in trouble. Because there was a young prophet and an old prophet. And the young prophet heard the voice of God clearly, don't return back there. And the old prophet came and said, God spoke to me that you must return back there. And he obeyed the old prophet and died. Are you getting my point? What are Christians supposed to do? We obey the recorded truth of God. Let me remind us what I said last time. I said there's a difference between what somebody will say God said to him, even if indeed God said it, and that which is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, I said, is that which is written. Are you getting my point? The perfect will of God is that which is what? Written. The word of God is clear. Now, when God is speaking directly to people, I said, oftentimes, most times, actually, most times what you are experiencing, all right, is that God has to downscale to what you can receive. Therefore, God will speak to a man, thou shalt go down, maybe from Enugu to Onitsha. And as God is saying it, all he hears is, thou shalt go down to Oka. And I'm serious about that. Why? Because going down to Onitsha is a matter of progress in the journey. And what his soul can receive is traveling right now as far as Oka, and God will not quarrel for now. So the man will arise according to the word of the Lord. Do you get my point? And get down to Oka. And God said, don't worry. He will develop over the next 4 years, alright, to a point that he will be able to reach your nature. Then the voice of the Lord will come to him again, saying, thou shalt arise and go towards your nature. God did speak twice. God spoke only once. But twice he heard it. Because the first time the voice came, he was not ready to assimilate everything. Then as he grew up in his spirit, alright, he was not able to take in the rest. Then the voice of God echoes to him again. This time around it was clearer. Why? Because of the development that was inside his soul. That's why we read that scripture. Concerning Jesus was spoken, this is my beloved son, in whom I am completely pleased, in whom every single word I speak come to him completely and directly without any filtering by any impurities in his soul. Whatever I say, he hears it clearly. Every other person knows, they don't hear it clearly. So don't just say, disciples, there are things I want to tell you. It's the desire of my heart, it's my perfect will to tell you. But the reason why you're not hearing it now is because you can't hear it. Therefore, I have learned this and I'll teach Christians, you being amongst them, that sometimes you sit down there, you are praying and pray, God speak. After you have prayed for 4 days, 5 days, 1 week, and you've not heard anything, know what God is saying in effect. Do that which seems right in your own eyes. I'm not saying do anything. I said what? Do that which seems right. I'm coming to the point there. Don't think I'm telling us to live very loosely as Christians. No. That's why I said, I will first recognize that in 5. Your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Alright? Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Alright? This is the point. It's a thinking pattern. I've explained that. That's what I ended with last time. That's actually the matter with Christians. It's not about sharpening our spiritual sensitivity. I've explained something to you before. There are a lot of things we preach this and call Christianity and Pentecostalism. They are nothing but spiritualism. That's why our practices will look like that of a Buddhist. That's why some of our practices will look like that of a yogi. That is, all we are doing is engaging in spiritualism, not true spirituality. That is, you go and sit down and say, learn how to pray until you begin to contact the realm of the spirit. That is spiritualism. That's not Christianity. That's why it was never taught anywhere in the Bible for us to behave like that. Alright? Or that's what Buddhists do. That's what Hindus. You cross your legs like until your spirit begins to lift up and then you enter into other realms. That's not Christianity. That is what? Spiritualism. And that's why the world of faith movement, alright? That's why I came under intense attack. People were wondering, why are Christians looking like they are practicing Eastern religion? Because indeed, those things, people come with testimonies. The same way a yogi has testimonies, a Buddhist also has testimonies. So don't call that thing before spiritualism. I don't go by the game. It's something you can learn and practice. But that's not Christianity. It is not at all what? Christianity. Therefore, all those are our practices, alright, as Christians. Those things appear like spirituality. Let's not bother with them. What do? We go for what? True spirituality. What is true spirituality? I was saying something. That when God wanted to speak to... I want to bring out this issue. To John. John did not have to cross his leg and practice anything. Are you getting my point? Go and read the story of somebody like an eagle, who used to have visions, physical visions of the Lord, see angels and all of that. He says sometimes these things will happen, that he was not doing anything special. He just woke up in the morning, just had breakfast, and he sat down and he was reading. And I like what the woman said once. Very interesting. His name just escaped me now. He said once he was going to preach somewhere. And he traveled, so he was tired. So he was sitting down waiting for his turn to come and speak. And he fell asleep. So he closed his eyes and slept. So next he heard, he announced his name. That, okay, the son of Christ will come up and preach now. And he got up. And because of the presence of the power of God in his life, as soon as he got up, everybody sitting on his roof fell down under the power of God. And that, so people thought maybe it was in the spirit. That he fell asleep out of tiredness. And he got up out of the depth of his sleep. And he arose, you understand? And then, it wasn't like he did anything to cause those things to happen. Alright, when Christians are not taught, they think you go and practice out. No, that's spiritualism. When you start practicing, you know, those spiritual gymnastics. What am I saying? What are we supposed to really practice? God has a way of thinking. God has his ways. He has his thought pattern. And this is true spirituality. Listen to me. This is true spirituality. Let me say one more time. This is true spirituality. That we learn the thinking pattern of God. Are you getting my point? That is what? True spirituality. That we learn the way God thinks. That's why I read Isaiah 55. True spirituality is that we learn the way he thinks. True spirituality is that we learn how God thinks. It is not spirituality for me to learn how to fight in my spirit so that I can contact the realm of the spirit. That is not necessary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is good to learn how to be quiet so that you can meditate upon the word of God. But you are not supposed, as Christians, to learn how to quieten your spirit so you can connect with what God is saying in the realm of the spirit. It is not true. It is not good. I advise you don't just bother your soul because it won't help you anyway. That's what Hindus do. Are you getting my point? Listen, what makes us safe as believers is that, you know, I said before, there are different ways into things. Alright? Now, I read a lot about that religious and all of that, but I try my best and I just get to know things. And all those things, the man that which I have given a lot of as an example, Buddha, alright? What is his own real name now? Buddha just means teacher, alright? Now, but the person that's known as the Buddha, he was a Hindu. He was born a Hindu. Are you getting my point? He was just dissatisfied with Hinduism, alright? And he learned how to meditate. That's what he used to do. And finally, he felt that by the ways he had learned, He has now discovered how to enter into peace of mind, and others try to follow him. Are you getting my point? But Jesus now came and said, it's not like that. I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. That is, this is what helps us as Christians. We don't follow different ways. We follow what? The way. And what is the way? That's Christ Jesus. He's the person. And what do we follow? If how do we follow the way? We meditate upon his truth. We meditate upon his words. And that is what Christianity is. We are saved. We can never fail. Are you getting my point? I remember many years ago, I read a book by Tuesday Loves and Rampa. And it was talking about how to live this physical realm and enter into the realm of the spirit. And he said, once you begin to enter, alright, you begin to see some creatures. And those that shouldn't be afraid, they are like animals in the realm of the spirit. They can't hurt you. They are just seeing you for the first time. And they are curious. I said, this is how people go mental. They are not my point. This is how people go mental. This is how they go mental. When you start going into the realm of the spirit and you are seeing creatures, you will go bananas. That's just the way you can. You can't help it. Your brain will go sharp, a pack. You should go and buy kilometer. You understand my point? And then it is the truth. That's why you should be singing. Because you will go mad. And I've heard, different stories from different people who started practicing things and then they went crazy. I remember one of my friends, one day I went to visit another of our friends and he was there. And that was the first time. We were all young, teenagers. And maybe they were a little older than me, maybe they are the age of 20 or so. But I was a certified teenager at that time. No, they must have been a little older than me, but more than 19 or so, 18, 19. I never heard anybody play jazz before. So they were sharing things, this is small, this is small. And I said, what is that? So they played it. Very dry music. They love this thing, they close their mouths. I was very young, what's wrong? He said, I don't understand. I said, what? He said, this is the music of the spirit. I said, what? He said, you cross your leg like this. He said, you will play it, close your eyes, and the spirit will begin to enter. You will be lining the edges of the room. People are almost scared of me. No, really, classical jazz, a lot of jazz play this is really hyped up, has a lot of, they put some real beats into it. But then, classical jazz, I'm not going to lie, okay. Anyway, 2 years later, I heard their commenter. That's what I told you. When you sit at home at night and spirits are lining your walls, you see, please, I look at it. That's San Kilometer. Who did it? Face. Face. That kind of insanity to face. Start to increase. When spirits enter your room, are you getting my point? That is why I won't practice all those funny meditations. I don't need it. Because when you begin to move, you go start to decrease. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why are we safe as believers? We don't need it. In our quiet periods, what we do, we take a Bible. We take a book. We begin to sing songs of praise. We begin to sing songs of worship. We are not trying to enter into any realm of the spirit. Hear me. The Bible says concerning Christians, say walk in the spirit. It's a constant walk. For us, spirituality is what? A constant walk. There's no time of now. Let us enter into the realm of the spirit. I cross my level. You want to enter into the realm of the spirit. That is how faith will begin to minister to you. You understand my point? Yes, that's the beginning of Christmas. You understand? You know, I like to invent people all the time. Alright? That's the beginning of madness. Because you want to enter into the realm of the spirit and have spirits coming to talk to you. Most of those times, if any man says that that's how he does it, no matter what he says, it's angels of darkness that are masquerading as angels of light. I like the way John Gillick said it. That no, Christians don't go out to the right to go and try and contact the realm of the spirit, trying to draw spirits, conjure spirits. That no. That when the time comes for spiritual manifestations, God will by himself stretch his hand and take it to wherever he wants to take it to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And that's why I read your Bible. You will hear it was John the Baptist, the father, sorry. What's the name of John's father? the Baptist, was just going about his normal priestly duties. Then he turned, and one day they just called and said, well, Papa, look, this I know it is. Do you understand? Like, what are you doing? Are you a priest? Are you supposed to be here? He said, I'm an angel. Come, let's talk. He didn't go there and say, today I shall see an angel. Nothing like that. In fact, when Mary saw Angel Gabriel, it was like, this angel, he want to spoil my life. What is it? Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to have a child. How is that possible? That is, she didn't come trying to see an angel. Christians, please don't practice how to see anything. What you need is the perfect will of God. And that is what? Recorded. That's what you need. The perfect will of God. Which is what? Recorded. A lot of times we preach as people are called living by the Spirit. No, I don't believe it. And nothing I learned about it, I learned this when I was in best. I grew up and I realized it's not present. You pray until something stays in your spirit. All that you will get from it is confusion. Let me tell you how to walk in the spirit, Christianity. You learn the thought patterns of God. And anytime He puts you or you find yourself in a situation where you have to make decisions, you do that which seems right to you according to the thought patterns of God that you have learned already. That's spirituality. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. If I get to crossroads, the road is crossed and I'm supposed to move. Do I turn to the left? Or turn to the right? Or cross the junction and keep on going ahead straight? This is what I do. I will commit my ways unto the Lord. Are you getting my point? I pray about the situation. After that, I do that which is reasonable. If I don't know what to do, I don't do anything. Because not doing anything, as far as God is concerned, it is still a doing of something. If they say go left, right, or center, you don't know, either go left, right, or go on, keep on going straight. You don't know which one to take. You will stay there until you know which one to take. I told us about praying. You pray and ask God, lead me. Because there are different ways He will lead. I told the story of Ben Carson to show us an example. A woman and her husband had so much faith concerning the healing of their child. They did not just say, okay, they didn't just come and say, all right, since they have faith, I'll just do anything. They said, no, I have to do what is medically reasonable. Are you getting my point? So what do we do? We do that which is reasonable. Now, when I say reasonable, all right, which is what we will do. A lot of people think that you are saying they should do that which anybody else would do. Now, let me get down there again. That's what I'm talking about today. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the last time we did. That is what the normal person, the normal human being on the earth, calls reasonable, may not be reasonable to me. And that is what spirituality is. Real spirituality is I form my reasons based on the word of God. So what I call reasonable is only what is sensible as far as God is concerned. Let me give you an example. We talked about Ruth and Naomi, right? Now, for a second, think about it. What Ruth did, was it reasonable? It depends on who's judging. Are you getting what I'm saying? If other young girls, young women of her age were to judge, this is risky. This is risky. How can? No. My hand don't deal. Why? Because with them, what is paramount is their own personal safety. Are you getting my point? So, it's not reasonable what she did. But come over to Ruth's heart. What she did, was it reasonable? Yes. Because for her, the options are, my mother-in-law will suffer and be alone in her old age. Or, she will have somebody to help her, at least until she dies. Well, those are the options. And what is reasonable there for her was simple. I can't leave her to suffer. Do you get the point I mean? So when I talk about what is reasonable, I don't mean we go out and try and
reason like everybody else will reason. That's not what I mean by reasonable. What I mean by reasonable is that you have learned the way God thinks. Are you getting my point? And because of that, certain things are reasonable to you. Let me give you an example. You have come to understand by studying the Word of God that when it comes to doing business, as an example, that money is not amongst the most important things. What I mean is this. That righteousness is first. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let's take some of the most corrupt people on earth, alright? Mafia people, alright? Alright, let's do what I'm saying, alright? Because for them, money is everything. Money is everything. Money is everything. A man shoots you and tells you, don't be angry. I'm just doing business. And he expects you to be reasonable. He expects you to understand. And he expects that if you were in his shoes, you should shoot him too. So he tells you, come on, don't take it personal. We're just doing business. And he didn't understand what I'm saying. To him, that is reasonable. Do you get my point? Because for him, it's all about money. I went to buy a car battery a few days ago. And I had to instruct a young man who I buy things from. I saw this particular, I said, where is it? He says in Germany. And I laughed at him, and I said, it's not possible. He said, it's Germany. I said, listen, you know, you don't need to tell me this. I called you, I have your phone number. I need a part dealer I can trust. I don't want this kind of sweet talk. I said, let me put this in, not from Germany. He said, I should go ahead. Please, when you want to connect, you know the way Chinese go right. Please connect the terminal. You know this way. You turn the English upside down. Just make sure battery not wet. So I read something like that for him. I said that kind of English only comes out of China. When you buy something and you see the story, you know there are two kinds of Chinese products in Nigeria. There are American products made in China. Every Motorola phone you pick is made in China. Almost every computer, apart from some Dells come from Malaysia, almost every other computer we buy in Nigeria is made in China. Even whether it's Dell, Toshiba, HP. But then, there are some made in China. It's not by Dell, but you can put Dell on it if you want. So, if you see, for example, a Dell made in China, there's no grammatical error in it, in the manual. But if you see a computer made in China, no matter, there's no name, you just put here, you know, I am, anything you like, put there. Now, you see all the grammatical errors, I mean, they are full of it. They said, you know, they tell you that, please, phone not good if used, you know, properly not, you know, that kind of thing. What is the kind of thing? So I saw something like that, I told the guy, I said, listen, they're that. So he smiled. This one I'm coming to. So I told him, look, you don't need to tell lies. What people like us need, somebody we can trust. I'm still buying from you. I mean, you're buying from me. If you don't have the good one today, tell me next time. I ended up buying one made in Korea, right? Now, he now told me something. He said, guy, you know, saying that those are the tricks for business. So I told him, I said, that is not business. That's lying. That's why I'm going to go with this. I said, that is lying. It's not business. True business, now let's get back to it. Having learned the thoughts of God, true business for me is that my customer is satisfied. True business for me is that I give him something that will help him. True business for me is that I tell him the truth, I don't lie to him. Prosperity for me is not money. Prosperity is that I can swear to my own pot and change not. Prosperity for me is that God will look and say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. When he's selling his goods, he doesn't try to defraud anybody. Prosperity for me is that I have satisfied the righteousness of God. Are you getting the point? Prosperity is not money for me.
Therefore, when I get to crossroads, I have to make a decision. What is reasonable is not what somebody will call reasonable, because what we are going after is not the same thing. I have discovered, as an example, that the Bible says that a good name is better than silver and gold. Therefore, I feel like I have prospered more if I finish a business and I earn a good name, more than if I finish that transaction and I make money. Henry Ford said, "You can get virtually anything you want in life, you put your mind to it." He said, "But if in that process you don't get goodwill, you have not prospered much." Just explain something to you. So, for him, goodwill is important. So if he finishes a business and he made a lot of money, and people are looking for the day they will catch him and kill him, he knows he's lost money. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what is central in my mind, what I call reasonable, is not what the world will call reasonable. Do you get what I mean? I like to use this as well, because most of us are very young, and so we can't relate to it. I have to make a decision concerning who I will marry. Good character is good, amen? So, we should consider that. Yeah, we should. Don't worry, God has not listened. One day, a friend of mine said that, he's a Christian, we're both exactly together on the campus. He said, because I have a friend here, he's engaged. And he said that the only reason why he's married again is because God says she married. He said, for all I know, this girl has brought me nothing but pain. He said, what is the will of God in this one? If he asks me, I'll tell him directly, don't marry her. I come to my kingdom, this is perverseness. It is perverse for a man to pursue pain. The very time I meet you as a young woman, now, quarrel. No, if God said it, he will postpone it, we can hear it, correct? I can't hear that kind of thing. I wake up every morning, that I'm happy until I see you. No, see, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing the moment I see you while I bust. Listen, so I won't shoot somebody one day. Let's end this relationship. No matter what they do, there's a girl that listen, I'll tell you. She never listens to me. People are always quarreling. She always wanting something we can't afford. And then people say she marry her. Anyway, you are not normal yourself. Honestly, no, really. You're not normal. You're not normal. No, you're not normal. Wait, that's it. I'm telling you. You're not. What kind of spiritual is it? What happened was that I pray. After I pray, you know, after 5 days of praying, and the Holy Spirit grabbed me. You don't finish. Like we're saying, how does she behave? She doesn't have manners. Two. How much money do you have now? Tell me. Does she understand that? She said, no, she can't live like that. But I asked her 4 or 5 questions. And he said that God said she married her. You know, actually, God can say anything. You know, I think we've established that.
Yes.
God can send the spirit to go and tell Ahab to go to Kadesh Barnea that he will prosper there. You know, God said, I want him to be deceived that he might die there. So it's obvious you have sinned against God. And God is beating you to the hand of this Jezebel to ruin you completely. If then you saw the bishop after you fasted, I know you smoke, that's what I'm doing. Vision after fasting, me, I'm suspicious because one guy is wicked. And even by laughing, I'm telling you how to live life and not have problems. One guy is very wicked. If a man does not eat for 3 days trying to find out the will of God, then he sees a vision. He should leave me alone. His hunger has. You start seeing spirits. When you're very hungry, ordinary chicken, you know, you do, you say, oh, I heard the Holy Spirit speak. I said, your problem is that your brain is not, you know, brain operates on glucose alone. So when it doesn't get enough of it, it starts misfiring. So if a man doesn't die 5 or 5 days, then he has a vision.
that God said she should marry a wicked girl. Hey! I said, well, it's obvious that God wants to punish you. It's obvious. You are saved. That's an example. So it's reasonable to marry a person who is good. Go and read Proverbs 31. That's what is called a righteous woman. Why it was placed there? That's why when young men want to choose a wife, they will look for virtuous women. Are you getting my point? Now, let me ask you another question. If it's okay, I want to marry somebody who is fine. Is that good or bad? Now, don't answer before you get confused. If a woman doesn't look fine in your eyes, it means you don't like her, so forget it. Okay. Let me end my marriage seminar here. There's a reason I'm saying that. I have to say in your eyes, having learned the word of God, but there's a problem in this world. The people we call fine are not fine in our eyes. They are fine in the eyes of Calvin Klein. They are fine in the eyes of Elsa Clench. They are fine in the eyes of E, that's the entertainment division. They are fine in the eyes of Silver Bread. Do you get my point? You know, the world just decides for us what is fine. And unconsciously, we just learn it. Do you understand? We just absorb it. No, really. I told you before that there was a time, let me use just an example. Those days, if you're a Calabar man and you wanted to marry, or a Calabar girl you wanted to marry, what's the best thing? They transfer you into the party room. And what they do? They start blowing all kinds of fat into your body. You don't go walk. You come in the morning, they rub cream on your oil on your body. That you can absorb fast from that one. You will eat. You walk there. Why? So that you must be fine on your wedding day. Do you understand my point? But if it is now, first, if you are a size, I don't know women size very well, but let's use men size, right? So that I won't cause confusion. But let's assume you are a size. It doesn't make sense that you're using men size. Okay, let's assume that 14 is not. Is 14 big or small? It's big. Okay, so let's assume you're a size 12. You can't show down size 10. And then you sit there and wait, what is that? Is that shrinking into the gap? You keep shrinking. You shrink. Did they give you food? No, I can't eat. Did they give you what I said? Is it the ionized? Because you must fit into a size 10 gap. Why? Because today the world has told us. You understand? According to the book I wish you can see to yesterday. The original lepa, that's the way to go. That's what they call it in Lagos. Lepa. It's today. Meanwhile, medical science, I already said this article some time ago. There are 50% of mothers, all those girls that go on the catwalk. This is biology, they are infertile because they are underweight. 50%. Now, I'm looking at something here. So you see, what is built? They keep on tossing us to and fro. So if you fell asleep 70 years ago in Calabar and you woke up today in Calabar, you will change the girl you pay the bride price for. But 70 years ago, alright, the man is rich. How do you know? He has money. His wife weighs 150 kg. Hey! Everybody's happy. But now, he said, 150 kg, I didn't want that house. Do you know that kind of thing? See how the world turns up to true. I told you before that. Now this is, a white woman has to be, she has to have a tan, you know, you have a tan. So she should be very fine. Why? Because today, a tan just means that you are rich. What we call beauty actually is a sign of something. But those days, the tan here, women used to take arsenic. They take arsenic to bleach their skin so they would look very pale. Because pale was beautiful. Why? Because those days, pale meant you were rich. Why? Because everybody walked outside, they were all farmers. Only rich people were indoors. You see what I'm saying? Now, so let me not lose my mind. I'm not explaining. So what is reasonable? That's what I'm not explaining. The world can tell you what is reasonable. Then you will have lost the sense of God. That's what I'm saying. So now, let me ask that question again. If I want to marry, should I marry a woman who is fine? The Bible says, charm is deceitful. Beauty is what? Vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So we drop what you call beauty down below. Now, because we have understood that a lot of the things we call confusion, they will call beauty, is confusion of soul. Therefore it is. Listen to me. You can't know a beautiful woman until you know her. Do you understand? It is not possible to see somebody from outside and say this person is beautiful. And in reality, that statement makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Real beauty is when you have encountered her. You have spoken. You have exchanged ideas. You have talked. There was one girl once when I was 7. And it was in this girl, so the first day she talked in my presence, I almost fell down. She couldn't, you know my problem with her. Proper English was not to be found in her mouth. I asked her a question in simple English. And she answered me in one real bottom worry pigeon. So in my mind, hey, occupy me. So this is the girl that they go community calls for. She can't even speak English. And in case you want to be a matter of fact, people are only fine the first time you see them. You know that? Yes, yes, that is the first time. By the third time, you want to rewind and think, what happened that first time? What am I trying to explain? Beauty is vain. Charm is what? Deceitful. They sell it in Hollywood. By the time they finish giving you a makeover, they can't make over your character like that. They sit down, they paint you up, shine you up. That's why people like our Lord chosen deeper life, they say, these are the things of the world. I don't blame them. These are the things of the world. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They have their reasons. Even if you sit best, you know, just like, don't find out in 1 hour. God said it's not true. Even my spirit strives with men for a while. Switching their character. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now let me not waste time. How many more things to say on that area? So let me not waste time. I'm looking at my time. So this is what I mean. So what's reasonable therefore? I want to make a decision for someone who I'm married. Say, this one is fine, this one is not fine. That one drops to number 20. It doesn't make sense. From our area. We don't marry from their area. That is spiritual mental sickness as Christians. The Lord told me that would not be good. Alright? We have to marry anybody from any geographically speaking. No. Those were things that I thought that we're all in Nigeria. Okay. Far below. I learned that one long ago. So when I'm talking about what it means to be reasonable. That okay, this sister, I'm from Anambra, she's from Anambra, that one is better. Once we say that, even God will carry his bag, say, I'll see you later. I'm telling you, it is unreasonable. Now you are seeing what I'm saying by reasonable now. Are we getting there? Because we said God has his thoughts. What is true spirituality for a believer? True spirituality is I learn the thoughts of God. That's all. That's what spirituality. What would rather do as great believers is to sit down. And we are supposedly hearing from God. Whether you turn your ear like this, or like this, whichever way, doesn't improve, doesn't amplify God's voice. Because it's not using natural sound waves. Like the case of one man that you can use to dial God's for people. So what's your problem? Tell me. Hello? Is that God? People believe it. In Lagos, senior executive queue up to go and have a man phone God for them. Let's get back to our ministry. What I mean here is, so when I say Christian, just that which is reasonable, I am not talking about that which is reasonable to everybody. I'm talking about that which is reasonable according to the word of God. That is true spirituality. For those of us who are around the co-workers meeting in the morning, I said something. That a lot of people are very lazy. That's their problem. They're just lazy. That a lot of prayers being prayed are prayers of idleness. You know, like prayer of idleness. Nothing else to do. There are prayers of laziness. I can't exercise my mind. I can't renew my mind. I can't make decisions and defend them. Remember my story of Benkas? This is what the Lord calls that. The parents come and say, I would believe that God wants to heal this child. Then they go and do a surgery that has no explanation, no scientific backing. Then when it collapses, they will come and say, I did it because my spirit just agreed, the spirit of the parents, and we just agreed that the surgery should be done. They can't defend what they have done. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they push it onto spirit. It's very common with pastors. No, we are doing this because God said we should do it. And what do you mean by God said? It makes no sense. You understand what I'm saying? It's a very foolish thing to do. Everything about it is senseless. The only way you can sell it to ignoramus is what? God said. Yeah. So you harass them with God said. Like I said, no, you should not harass me with it. When you want to demonstrate, when you want to speak to people, you must be able to do what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. When I decided I wanted to marry my wife, right? When I decided I wanted to come to Enugu to come and work, when I decided this is the kind of ministry I wanted to do, all those things, in all of them, I had to answer questions. Are you getting my point? Issues will come up in your mind. And for every one of them, this is spirituality. I took the word of God and answered them. Are you getting my point? That is, it was what God has said. That was what answered each one of them. I say something all the time. You may hear someone like me preach and explain that, look, there's no security or safety in America. You know, I used to do something before. I would hear people, I say, look at this. Look at this. After all, they are poor people in America. They are poor people in Nigeria. They are rich people in America. They are rich people in Nigeria. You know, I have that argument a lot. But I couldn't persuade people. But I now realized something later. I had a faith that they did not have. I don't know what I get my point. All those things I'm saying, it's because this line, the bottom line in my heart, is that wherever I am in the world, God can bless me anywhere. So all those other things I say, about you don't have to be in Lagos, you don't have to be here. So they suddenly start, it makes sense to me. But to a man who says, you didn't hear. The governors are eating money. You did not hear. All price went down, they had to repeat the budget downstairs. You did not hear. It's downstairs or downwards. They had to repeat the budget downwards. And you didn't hear. After he said all of those things, alright? Suddenly, all these other issues I'm saying, they don't make sense. Are you following my point? They don't make sense anymore. So he suddenly starts hearing God, arise my son, thou shalt go to Australia. He's hearing that because baseline is that he has watched television. And since CNN will not do a case report on the poor people in Australia, they won't. Thank God for Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera knows how to do that one to show. Love that. Don't think this is all sweet, alright? Since they wouldn't do a case report, do a documentary on the suffering people in England, the man now gets up because his heart has been filled with the glamour and beauty. He now gets up and runs down to one of those countries. That is the interesting part. Reality will eventually set in. What faith does for some of us is like two things. One, it helps us early to know the reality. And number two, it creates. Without faith, maybe if I stayed in Nigeria, I would have been poor. But with faith, wherever I go, I can't be poor. Because the word of God creates. Are you getting what I'm saying? The word of God does what? It creates. Now that thing for me is reasonable. People are making decisions. Alright? They say, are you going to stay in Lagos? Are you going to go? I remember I was going to come to Enugu. They both said it to me separately. Lagos. That's where the money is. Lagos. That's where the money is. And anytime I hear it, my mind used to wonder that are these people blind? Because for me, all I could see is that this Lagos is one place where I see grown, well-dressed men driving big boots, begging for money. I never saw it anywhere else in Nigeria. Yes. But this is the point. Why was I saying it? Listen, because the word of God has created something in me. So that I had no faith in places. Yes, I saw good things in Lagos. I saw bad things also. But that taught me something. Alright? That this, you know, in fact, I don't know how many things. The summary of my experience in Lagos, I said, if God doesn't bless you, you will not be blessed in life. Because I saw men struggle, alright? We are fresh post-NYC doctors. To earn 15,000 naira a month, we work 3 jobs. You know my point? 8 to 3, 3 to 8, 8 to 8. God is my witness, I'm not like you. After that, 15,000 naira a month. This was 1993, 1994. I told myself, oh, God forbid, there are some things that God put inside my kidneys or my liver. I could not do it. Please, I hope you have not said this. At the same time, somebody said, bank it. Yes, ma'am. Test this sheet for me. Let me see what it looks like. That is nice. He said, that's 25,000. All right, I'm supposed to give this person. Then my mind, wait. My boys, they do 3 jobs. We have 50k in a month. So no, try the second one. I tried that one too. That one is 50,000. A pair of shoes. What is it made of? It goes from heaven. But men were dead. Men were good. I said, we just carry a bag. You know, women, bag and shoe. Made the same material. $500. I thought we'd make a few phone calls, 1070k. And you know, and God arranged so that I could be there, watch it, so that you know that this life is not about struggle. After that, I go back home. But I went to one of my friends at the time. I told him, say, oh, what? Don't die. Yes, this kind of job you want to do. Don't die. Men who are really blessed in life, they don't walk like this when you are walking. They just use blessing. You go on, say, and then there's nothing wrong with you. Come with all of this. By the time I finish in Lagos, I told myself, I'd rather die in poverty than work with some people are working. Because I realized that prosperity does not come from working too hard. It is vain for a man to rise up in or to go to bed late. Because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. I'm not saying men should they should work hard. But there's a limit to hard work. A man shouldn't work 24 hours a day. It's not the will of God. So when I was leaving Lagos, for me, I was escaping from all this kind of hard work. No, see, that's where the money is. I said, no. I knew men who were living in Akure, who were living in Ondo State, Adekunle, who were building massive buildings and dashing universities. They did not stay in Lagos. My dad told me, one man in our hometown, there, you know, that one particular year, not now, I'm talking about, he said to me like 20 years ago, that a man bought the amount of produce he bought for export that year was 200 million naira. He wasn't staying in Lagos. He was staying somewhere near us there too. What am I saying? So what is reasonable? So in all of these things, so I could move anywhere. If the Lord had put me in the back, I would not have complained. When I came to Enugu, Enugu was not this one at that time. But I told people, don't worry. How many banks were in Enugu at that time? I told people, don't worry. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations I can overflow you. I believed it. I said, I can never be poor. I have read the word of God. So what's reasonable to me? Whether the job was in Lagos or was reasonable to me, it was the same thing. And you get my point? So that's what I mean when I say Christians take decisions that are what? Reasonable. Jackie Mines, I told that to me several times, wanted to marry Terry Mines. So you and I example. But Terry Mines wanted to marry Jackie. So he said to Jackie, marry me. And the woman said, I like you, I would love to marry you, except that I can't marry you. He said, why? He said, because I can't have children. The issue is that, who said you can't have children? He said, doctors. Listen to this. Reasonable. Terry Mines said, the doctors are mistaken. That is summary. Why did he know? Because he read in the Bible that God said, I am bigger, and I'm putting many words together now. I'm bigger than the doctors. And let me tell you my own title. I am the Lord who makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Said children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is what?
A reward.
So the man told the woman, don't worry about that. They don't know what they're saying. But the rest of us, so if it was just a reasonable thing, how can one mortal man make a final decision about the life of somebody when I know the real God, the true God who made the human flesh? He said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? The dad was a smart and a real man of God. So he married him. His strong faith and her struggling faith. Jam. After a while she got pregnant, then she will miscarry. She will be sick, and the man kept on declaring the same thing. Finally she had like 3 children. Because at the beginning, Terry said to her, don't worry, those doctors, what do they know? Are you getting what I'm saying? For him, that was what? The decision was what? Reasonable. For him, it was a what? Reasonable decision. He said, what's the matter? I can't make that kind of decision. Listen, I'll tell you something, You can. If the word of God enters you to that level, and now don't worry about how can a man do that? Yeah, he has faith. Listen, if I keep walking in love and studying the word of God, if God knows how to face that kind of challenge, he will infuse that same spirit of victory. Listen, when we are making decisions in life, I want to understand. Every decision is made based on reasons. And true spirituality is that this, when I say reasons, now there are many questions we need to answer when we are making a decision. And true spirituality is I answer all those questions with the word of God. And then I come out with the will of God. I don't know what I get about. When I have answered all the questions, listen to this, concerning the decision I want to make, the derivative, the things I derive, alright, or the thing that I come out with, the final product is called the will of God. So you see, God doesn't have to kill all these things that we're going to do that. Have I? Have not spoken? No, not yet. Listen. Let me tell you the truth. What's the hindering God speaking? Is that God is fighting the obstructions in your mind. The Bible says if we pray according to his will, he hears us. Is that okay? Alright, that is, what does that tell you? Spiritual communication is amplified or obstructed by consonance to the will of God. If you speak that which is according to the will of God, he hears. If you speak that which is not according to the will of God, he does not hear. Now, let's finish up. If God speaks and it's not according to your will, you don't hear. I don't understand. If God speaks and your will has not been converted to agree with that word, it won't register. No matter how hard God speaks, if your will has not been converted, kneeling down and praying so that God will speak does not make him speak. Because truth be told, he spoke long ago. You just have not developed to the level that you can hear it. So what do you do with kneeling down? You kneel and pray until your mind is cleansed from the obstructions to the communication from heaven. It is not by practicing how to quieten your spirit. That's Buddhism. It is not how to shut out the noise in the environment. That's yoga. Christianity is how to convert your mind. It said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, this is true Christianity. To learn how to think the way God thinks. So that my will is now submerged in the will of God. So that when God speaks, I hear him. And you get what I'm saying? And I said, the degree to which you hear is the degree to which your mind has been tuned.
to agree with the will of God. How do I recognize God's voice? Therefore, it's simple. I take this word and I use it to tune my mind every day. That's what I do. I take the word to prayer. You know, my wife told me something the other day. There's this book he's always reading. The book is written by the title of the book is Great Faith Can Be Yours. It's one Pastor Martin that wrote it. So my wife is always reading the book. So one day, that was about 3 days ago. No, on Tuesday, I was in the house, I didn't leave on time, I think. And then she wasn't born on Tuesday, she just brought the kids in school and came back home. And she went into my study, brought the book, and came into the bedroom. And I said, hey, you are taking this book again. Then she made a statement. She said, the book sent me into prayer. You hear what I said? That book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. She said, it sent me into prayer. And as soon as she said it, I began to teach again. Because any that morning I'd woken up and I'd been thinking about some things. So what she said, and I told her, I said, that's one real prayer. That I'm bringing out something here. That when you take the word of God, you discover something about that you have not yet become converted to. This is prayer that really works. You take that one you discover from the word of God and go straight into prayer. My God, that is the real manifestation you are looking for. There's prayer of struggle. Yeah, Father God, this is what I really want to do. Do for me. This year must not pass me by. This year. Father. One of our friends was a spiritual man recently, and he had a party for him, and we were there. And people were talking about him. And then I was supposed to pray. I said, we have come, we have eaten, we have rejoiced. But many things have been said about one person. How kind a man that he is. Everybody has a testimony of how he's been helpful to anybody. He said one day he was somewhere and he saw a man on the road. The man was having problems and I said, what happened? He didn't know the man, he just saw him, somebody was distraught. Okay, right, what's all this noise about? He said that I'm being driven away from my house. He said, why? He said, I don't have money. They are kicking me out. So they follow me to the office. He didn't know the man from anywhere. How much did he say it was? He told him. He opened his bag, counted the money, and gave him. Said, go and pay. Are you getting my point? And there was one man, the government official today. He said, you see that man that was greeting him? He said, the man used to watch his cars those days. And he called him one day and said, what is it that's your problem? They discussed it. He said, okay, I think first thing you should do, you should go back to school. You don't have money? Come, I will give you money. So they described many things that he had done like that. So when I was supposed to pray, I said, we can all come and say, hey, nice man, and we'll go home. I said, the question, this is why God brought you here today, that how many people can point to you and say, this is a person who helped me out when I needed help. Everybody start praying. Don't pray for him now, pray for yourself. You get what I'm saying? That's what we do with prayer. Let me summarize, all right? This is the point. I think we Christians should forget this idea of, how do I know the will of God? Yes, connect with the Spirit. Let's forget Buddhism. Let's forget yoga. Let's forget transcendental meditation. Let's forget all those things that practice all over the hidden world. We don't need them. My sheep, they know my voice. They know how to meditate like this. The problem is when my sheep have turned to goats. Are you getting my point? So what do we do? We take the word of God and we convert our heart back from goatness to sheepness. Do you understand my point? The more you do that, the quicker you hear God. I don't know whether I'll continue on this next time or not. Let me just quickly say this. Then, because we will ask, what about this person had this manifestation? The problem we have is that we love to magnify special manifestations. Because sometimes God does things directly upside down. What I mean is that look at the prophet. Say, go and marry a harlot. Are you getting my point? Listen, that was a prophetic function. Don't go and quote that scripture and be chasing harlots in town. Now, bring an addition. Before God will tell a man to go and marry a harlot, listen to what I'm saying. Listen, he doesn't see it inside his spirit.
He doesn't say it in such a manner that he can doubt it tomorrow. He doesn't. He doesn't. When God wants to do things that are so totally upside down, that is when he will appear physically in a cloud and say, "My son Ernest, we need to talk. I have taught you many things in life and they are good things and you are walking by them and I am pleased with you. But this time around, you shall eat an animal that you believed I said you should never eat. No, Peter. And that is killer it. And that one will say, what? And then God will give him a word. It's the reasonable thing. I mean, if a young man you engage to, you come one day, say, what will be this? See this, Benet, now Holy Ghost. Even with the story of Mary we know now, we still won't believe. How much more when there was no story of Mary to tell? Joseph, you're rich as one day. It's okay. You don't need pain with them. This is your baby. What is going on here? He said, ah, Brother Joseph, it's not me. It is, I need no man. He said, hey. If you confess, we'll even forgive you. But for you to become the rest of us fools is the real iniquity. Didn't Joseph believe? Joseph didn't believe. Joseph didn't want to holler. That will go with all this, he said, and that's because of a kind man. Hey, go your way. And this Jesus, they look very nice when you meet them. When you discover them later, even so. But go. God will not speak in your spirit. Still small voice that we like to call it. I want an unnecessary breakdown, God, forget that one. That kind of one, an angel will show up. Hey, Joseph, wake up. Look at me. Just like that. Okay, boy, I'll just play with you. I'm an angel. See that girl? And I said, she gave me the Holy Ghost. Whether you believe her or not, it's not the issue right now. Take her as wife still. We'll score the next bit. Now, I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not sure the guy was so persuaded it was the Holy Ghost. He just said, take her as wife, so let's just continue. But after a while, I realized that my woman was telling the truth. What I'm saying is that God didn't expect me to just check his spirit to see whether Mary was lying or not. Listen, if you hear that story today, hear me, it's a lie. The only one that happened is the one read in the Bible. Don't use that one as a yardstick to measuring lying. The one girl, your girl, they say, my name is Mary, go and wear white. Say, it's not me, it was the Holy Ghost. Don't believe her. If God wants to believe her, that's what I'm saying. He will show up. Dramatically. Those are the times that God shows up dramatically. When I'm in Enugu right now. And God wants me by next week to go to Norway. Nobody called Norway. Some of you don't even know that what they call Norway. It's a country. Everybody there is white. They are so white they don't have black hair. Then God now wants Pastor Banky to go to Norway. Even if I wake up and Norway, I sneeze, it falls from my nose. You know, I still won't go there. He really needs to give me a supernatural manifestation. I will sleep one day, and then my wife just go, Norway, Norway, Norway. He said, calm down. He said, what happened? You were shouting Norway. I was shouting Norway. Okay, yes. I found us in Norway. I said, okay, don't worry. Is it the devil in Jesus' name? Then God will have to talk to me also. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will use all kinds of manifestations to let me know that I should go to Norway. Are you getting my point? Otherwise, the other way is more likely to do it. He will only do that when things happen. That's the only way I'm likely to. What am I saying? More likely is that I will get invited to go and preach in Norway. And do you understand? The other way, what is urgent and quick that I go to Norway, then it comes down to those manifestations. And this is what I'm teaching today. Let me not sit on them. Those manifestations, you don't beg for them. You can't beg to dream. You can't beg to see visions. You can't beg for an angel to appear. When they are necessary, they will appear. And like I said 2 weeks ago, they will appear if God God knows your heart is ready to believe. It's just that events right now are too difficult for you to make that kind of decision. How do we recognize the voice of God? It's simple. We follow heart after righteousness. We renew our minds continually with the word of God so that we are transformed in our way of thinking. Then God wants to add special manifestations, either angelic visits, trances, dreams, visions, voices in your ears, whatever one, He will use it. We can't ask Him to do them. We can't practice them. Let me end by repeating something I said earlier. Spiritualism can be done. People can learn spiritualism. But true spirituality is that every day I learn to think the way God thinks. Every day I learn to walk the way God will have me walk. That's true spirituality. And I meditate therein day and what? Night.